Good morning and welcome to 5 Minutes of Faith. This is the Reverend Megan King from St. Paul's United Church in Warkworth. On this fourth Sunday of Lent, we're looking at the story of the prodigal son. Imagine that story. Imagine you are the brother, the older brother. My name is Simon. I'm an old man now, and by the world's standards, I don't have much, but I have my memories and I have my truths. Some of my memories are painful and my truths are hard come by, but they're mine. They made me and they make me who I am today. I remember when I was young, working with my father and my brother and our servants, tilling the land, working the soil, planting the seeds and harvesting the crops. I remember feeding the beasts in the pen, helping with the birthings when the season was on us. I remember working alongside them, secure in who I was and whose I was. I was Simon, older son of Eli, brother to Micah. I was the elder in everything I worked at, all the days and nights I labored and sweated and froze to keep our family alive, was all right. It was my place in the world, and as the elder son, I knew that in time, all this would be mine. My brother Micah was always there. He worked hard too, but he was never satisfied with what he had. All the time he grumbled and complained because he knew that all this land, all this stock, would never be his. No matter that as a younger brother he had rights to a share of our father's inheritance. No matter that in time he would have a decent share of what our father had built up. In his impatience he wanted to be on his own. He wanted independence. We used to argue about it. Micah and I, about the rights and rules of inheritance, the assurance of a bit of security in a distant future instead of in the here and now. Finally, Micah's impatience got the better of him, and he asked our father to let him go. He begged and wheedled and cajoled until our father gave in, gave him his share of the inheritance, and kissed him goodbye. I stood there and watched as Micah walked away from our home, bound and determined that he would make it on his own in a world that didn't know him and couldn't care less if he lived or died. I stood and watched as the tears ran down our father's and mother's cheeks as they waved goodbye. And if Micah even turned once to look back, I didn't see it. I was too busy trying to figure out how I would do Micah's work as well as my own, and how I would be the comfort and security to my parents that Micah couldn't or wouldn't be. Years passed and we heard nothing from him. My parents got older and I got older, and our farm continued to survive. Finally, my mother died, and I knew that her broken heart had finally given out. She died believing that her younger son had vanished in some faraway land. She was sure that if he were alive, that he would have somehow let her know. One day, I was out in the field talking with some of the servants about the work that needed to be done. As I walked back to our house, I could hear a lot of noise, yelling, laughter, more excitement than I had heard in our household for many years. I went to one of the servants and asked what had happened. I couldn't believe what he told me. Micah, my brother, had come home. I went into our home and there he was, gaunt and dirty, stinking of pigs. He was sitting in my father's chair, wrapped in my father's finest robe. And I could see, even from the doorway, that on his finger he was wearing my father's family ring. The servants were running back and forth, and I could smell a meal being prepared. And my father stood there crying, and the tears running down his face were tears of joy. "Look," he said, "look, my son is alive. Your brother, who was dead, has returned to us. We're having a party to celebrate, and I've sent the servants out to invite all our neighbors, all our family, to come and rejoice with us." I stood there in shock, and my shock faded, and my anger grew. I pulled my father aside and said, "What do you mean you're having a party? After leaving us all these years, after not hearing one word from him, after he broke your heart and my mother's heart, after all the heartache and grief he's caused, you're having a party for him? I've been here all these years working like a servant, and when have you ever had a party for me? When have you ever given me a lamb to roast with my friends? and this filthy ingrate is getting a party? My father just looked at me. He said, but you've always been here. You've always had my love. You've always lived in my heart and soul. But your brother Micah died, and now he lives. He looked at me with eyes that begged me to understand, but I was too angry. I turned away and left the house. I kept myself busy with the fields and the animals all that evening. I could see all the people arriving, could smell the aroma of roasting meat, could hear the laughter and the singing, but I refused to join in. I couldn't. I just couldn't. My heart was too full of anger. I was sure my brother had come home only because this was his only refuge. I couldn't believe that he was really sorry for what he'd done, that he really repented his actions and really wanted to be reconciled to my father, to us. And I couldn't believe that my father had just forgiven him so easily. Time went on. Micah stayed and worked hard, and in time my anger softened. A little. He really did seem to be trying to make up to our father and to me for what he had done and for the inheritance he'd squandered. In time, both Micah and I married and started families of our own, and it was then that I finally understood what my father had told me all those years ago. When my children were born, I held them in my arms, and the feeling of love that overcame me was like nothing I had ever imagined. It was even different from the love that I felt for my wife, beloved as she was and still is. When I held my children in my arms, each one for the first time, I realized that there was nothing that they could ever do, nothing that would make me lose my love for them. Even when they got older and got into scrapes and problems, I knew that there was nothing that could separate them from my love. And I knew that no matter what they did, I would always find it in my heart to forgive them. Finally, I began to understand my father and the love he had for me, and especially the love and the forgiveness he had for Micah. I always had his love. I was held so securely that it was never even questioned. But Micah, he's the one who needed to be reassured. He's the one who needed to know that despite everything, that he was our father's child and that he was cherished and forgiven. And that's what my father did. Looking back, I wish I knew then what I know now. I wouldn't have walked away from that party. I would have welcomed my brother too with open arms. And Micah has repaid my father's love 1,000-fold. He has stayed and worked and become my trusted brother and my cherished friend. Our father's love and forgiveness turned Micah's life around. And now I hear that there are more political and religious rumblings happening among our people. That wandering rabbi, Jesus, has been going around preaching the coming of God's realm, and some of our temple leaders aren't happy about it. He's preaching that the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. He's even eating with sinners and tax collectors, and touching lepers and healing in God's name. Not surprising that some are upset, but it's just like with my father and Micah and me. I see it so clearly now. We Jews have always known that we've held a special place with the Lord. Are we not God's chosen people? And this rabbi is saying that God's love is bigger than that. The rabbi is saying that we've always been with God and had God's love, but that all of God's children are embraced and loved and celebrated, whoever they are and whenever they turn towards home. God's love is so big and so radical that each and every one of us is invited to God's party, those who've been here all along, and those who've wandered. Baruch Hashem, bless the holy name. Thanks to my own father, I know that now. Thanks be to God, we can all know that now. Shalom. This has been 5 Minutes of Faith with the Reverend Megan King. St. Paul's Warkworth, come in and have your answers questioned.